Bruce, you want to set this up and talk about what we're doing with Ellen this afternoon?
Sure. Ellen has two poems in the newest edition of Athlon, the Journal of the Sport Literature Association, which regular listeners know is an organization I belong to and a publication I really like. The poetry editor is our friend of the show, been on with us two, three, maybe four times, Ron Smith from down in Virginia. And these are two very different poems. One of them, her poem, Giant Slum, is a shape poem where the shape of the words look very much like what is going on in the poem. And so I want to talk to her about that. But I just thought it'd be and talk a little bit about sports poetry and to I think skiing and baseball are two good things to talk about right now.
Absolutely. Well, we've got Ellen with us this time over the telephone line. Hello, Ellen. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Glad we were able to overcome our technological hurdles so you could be with us again.
Great. Greetings from the quarantine canteen.
Now, are you doing your radio show on BYF from home, or are you going into the studio?
I'm doing it from home. Mostly I'm editing and re-engineering previous shows, but sometimes I put together a new show and upload it. So, you know, we have software where I'm connected to the station so I can, you know, I can record it on my own computer and then just connect with the station and upload it into the playlist software.
Well, I wanted to ask you about your poem, Giant Slum. I'd love to have you read it. And because there are very few people that write ski poetry, and I write ski fiction, and there's very little of that, especially the shorter ski fiction that I write. And I was wondering what it was that prompted this poem, or at least if you could just sort of describe what was the trigger here and how it came about,
yeah,
and then if you could read it for us, that'd be great.
For Lindsey Vonn, who was an historical champion skier, and she just won innumerable titles, and she was the first American woman to win an international downhill, and she won Olympic gold medals. She won like 70 races before she had to retire from injuries. So I think, I love the Winter Olympics much more than I love the Summer Olympics, and I love the skiing and the figure skating. So Lindsay was, definitely inspired this.
I don't know if we lost Bruce or not there. Ellen. Oh, no, you're there. Okay, go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, so Ellen, could you read Giant Slalom for us?
Definitely. She's the 14th racer down chiseled ruts of the crusted track. Takes air over a buttock of snow, tilts her tips to land the winged boards at the speed of a train. She squints through the goggles fog, the mountain breathes and exhales a laugh of vapor from her teeth. Kneeing the turn, she cross-blocks a gate, shoulder-bats the stuttering pole, dug down the shivs of snow in the wake of edges chattering, the sounds of nanoseconds slipping by.
What I love about that poem, and it's too bad people can't see it because the words move back and forth, as I said, look, as if you were skiing through gates, is as a national ski official, someone who's ridden on a chairlift with Lindsey Vonn when she was very young, and seen and watched a lot of these racers that have become iconic to us, Bodie Miller and Lindsey coming right to mind, that the nanoseconds of skiing are the things that I think a lot of people don't understand, that you do something for 2 minutes and 1/100th of a second makes you different than somebody else, and it is the ruts, and it is the track, and it is all those things. And when you thought of this as a poem, did you think of it immediately as a shape poem, or did that sort of evolve as you were coming up with the verbs, the words?
Yeah, it evolved as I was writing it. It evolved as I was writing, and I just kept writing, and it just seemed to me that the white space between the words themselves looked like they were running through gates, and so then I just kept indenting and extenting to to keep the, you know, to make the shape. And you notice like the last line is extended. It's further left than any part of the poem. So it definitely followed my inspiration there. I mean, I felt it in my muscles as I was skiing, and I submitted this poem to Ski Magazine. I know they're not normally a poetry venue, but I just thought they might look at it, and they did not even respond. Months and months and months later, they did not even respond. So then I looked up what other magazines might be interested in ski poetry or athletic poetry, and I came upon Athlon.
Yeah, well, and we do have a lot of that every issue in Athlon. Now, the second poem that's in Athlon is called Baseball, spelled as it would be in Spanish. And I'm wondering if you could read that one first and then tell us where that came from.
Sure. Baseball. Behind third base, my mind wanders to Ferlinghetti reading Pound at a Giants game, wanting a home run torn through the first canto, but I see the runner's panty line more prominent after he slid into second, breeches coated with diamond dirt. Lusty cheers dry his sweat-soaked red mud-streaked cheekbone. The yutzum with says, there's going to be a home run. I can feel it. This inning or the next one, I can't remember which.
I like that. Where'd that one come up from?
Well, this actually was inspired by Lawrence Ferlinghetti's Baseball Canto, and I love baseball too, and it just seems, you know, it seems to me like a poetic sport. Because it's just such a people's sport. It's, you know, the rules are not complicated. The players are very down to earth. So I just, you know, I just love it, and I love the championships and the World Series and everything. And I didn't always. I started to love baseball as an adult, not as a child, but actually as a mother, because I lived in Los Angeles, and a baseball game was a great place to take your little boy and his friends, so and maybe other parents or whatever. So we lived within reasonable distance of Dodger Stadium. In fact, we could always see their fireworks from our patio. And so we went to a lot of baseball games. So I've also, of course, been a fan of Lawrence Ferlinghetti, and actually a neighbor of Lawrence Ferlinghetti's for a short time when I lived in Bolinas, California. And I think he's 101 now and still going strong. And he wrote this poem called Baseball Canto, which starts out with him watching baseball, sitting in the sun, eating popcorn, reading Ezra Pound. And he was a big friend and a big fan of Ezra Pound's, who was kind of a generation behind him. So he kind of described this baseball game and made some political points about the economics of baseball and the Hispanics in baseball. I always loved that poem, and so one day this one occurred to me from that. You want to hear that one?
We've often talked on the show about baseball, as long as a sport, it seems to best be suited for literature. Not that other sports aren't. I often wonder if, as a poet, when you look at baseball, you can look at the individual moments in baseball more closely than you can, say, a game where the action is less likely to stop. Hockey.
You know, I've never seen or heard or read a football poem. I haven't looked that hard.
That's great.
But there are a lot of baseball poems, baseball novels. You're right. Baseball is very entrenched in literature, in American literature, because it's a singularly American game. But But it just really does lend itself to that, because it's a very immediate experience, and it has a great cast of characters, and it comes during a wonderful time of year, and so I just have always enjoyed it. I haven't written any other baseball poems or any other athletic poems either, but I am a skier, not a competitive skier. As a teenager, I was, but I wasn't really very good. I didn't kind of make any team, but I love skiing, and so I feel those sensations, you know, when I watch Lindsay Voss or another skier go down, you know, literally I can just feel it in my chest and in my legs, and you know, in the pain in my knees and the heartbeat, and baseball, I just have had so many wonderful afternoons and evenings going to baseball games, cheering baseball teams on television on both coasts. So I feel very close to both sports in different ways. But I do think it's very interesting that baseball has so much written about it, so much fiction, poetry, movies.
Well, Alan, it's wonderful to have you back on with us, and thanks so much for sharing your poetry with us and for making time to visit with us again today.
It's been wonderful being with you. I hope someday I can actually come and see you.
We would love to have you back here in studio.
This is the best we can do, and I'm glad we're doing it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Alan. Be well.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Alan.
That's Ellen Sander with us here on Downtown as we come up on the top of the hour and get ready to wrap up hour one of Downtown on this Wednesday afternoon. Bruce, another edition of Sports Lit 101 in the books. I was thinking about this the other day. Do you have books that you reread on a regular basis?
Yes. I have read A Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man at least a dozen times, read Ulysses a few times, but I do have other books that even if I don't read the whole thing, I go back to them.
I was just, there's some fiction books that I reread, but I always, every year, usually in the summertime where I've got a little extra time, I always reread Bill Bryson's A Short History of Nearly Everything.
I know, remember you telling me that you read it all virtually every year. I think that's very cool. My brother-in-law reads The Great Gatsby every single year. He goes up, the first time he goes to camp, he reads it and marks how he's been doing it for 28 years now or something. He's read it every year up at camp.
Well, great to have Ellen back on with us, and I had no idea until you had mentioned it and setting up the interview about her connection to sports. Last time we talked about her time as a rock journalist back in the 60s.
Yeah, when she told me she had these poems in Athlon, it's funny because I had just been talking to Ron Smith like a week before via email before the conference. And he said, I've got some good poetry this time around in Athlon. We've got some good poetry. I had no idea that it was Ellen, who's practically my neighbor. So it was good. I mean, I feel great saying one of my neighbors used to be Ferlinghetti's neighbor, you know?
And how can people get a copy of Athlon if they'd like to check it out?
All you have to do is go to the Sport Literature Association website, and it will direct you to ways to buy back issues of Athlon or to become a subscriber, which for individuals is relatively inexpensive, and it comes out 1 to 2 times a year with sports poetry, sports fiction, and also articles, academic articles on sport and culture, and it's a top-notch magazine edited by Mark Baumgartner out of the Eastern Tennessee State University, very bright young scholar. So it's great, and it's Athlon, Athlon, which is what used to be the prize you got in ancient Greece or recompense for winning a contest.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.